Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives a movie. Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out on the swamp, what do you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moccasin joke. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
It's mellow yellow jello, and I am chilling. That's right, folks. I am chilling so rigid right now. And let me tell you why. I'm here. I'm joining all of our fan base around the globe. And boy, have some of these predictions come true, and they're dead nuts. Man, bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. I can't believe it. Maybe I should become a soothsayer, one of those people that predicts the future. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's coming. Change is going to come. Remember what happened in 2008? We were all here. We all experienced it. Everybody went goofy. Prices went, one day they're high, next day they're low. Prepare yourself. Brace yourself, fools. I'm telling you right now. Brace yourself. It's about to hit. And I'm predicting within the next 3 months, It's going to hit us like a friggin' time bomb. Boom! Explain it to me, because you're so much smarter than I am. I'm a moron compared to all of you educated people. Look what the interest rate is. 4.75%. Almost 5%. It went from 1.25% to a big giant leap to 4.75. Really? How in the hell does it don't graduate to get up there? One giant leap. What the hell's going on? You ever heard of Rocket Mortgage? They laid off 1/3 of their employees. And then what did they do? They fired, a mass firing of 900 of their Zoom workers. Quicken Loans followed in suit. I'm telling you, folks, it's around the corner. 2008 was nothing. Nothing compared what's going to happen here. You better take heed. Remember, we've been talking about food prices. Holy shit. Do you know now that you can go out and eat, buy pork and buy beef, and it's a lot cheaper than chicken and turkey? That's right. Chicken and turkey went from $11.99 a pound out here to $20. That's right. It's cheaper to buy beef and pork. Something's not gelling, folks. Something's not going according to Hoyle, as they say. We've been warned, all of us, okay? And I'm telling you, I hope you got your ears on. I'm going to give you a good example. My neighborhood on the low side, okay, is right around $3 million a house. There's three houses on my block. I have a corner one, then there's one in the middle, and then the next one just went out for sale for 3.2, and the one next to him across the street for 3.4. Any house that went up for sale as recent as 3 weeks ago sold within 3 to 5 days. These two houses have been up for 14 days, and they haven't had a lick. Why? Tell me why, all you brains out there. You know what I'm talking about. It's a coming. It's a big change that's a coming. I'm telling you, and it's going to hit. So those of you who are hunkering down, those of you who have everything that's paid, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something, Doyle. You burnt up my emails, my texts, my phones. They were all burnt up last week after a couple of comments you made. And we're going to give you a chance to come back at them, because I'm going to read these things to you. And I think some of them are right. Now, I don't know if those demons in the bottle affecting your noodle, or it's just you being you. But we'll get to you in a little while. Got some great guests tonight. Robin and Kevin out there in upstate New York. We were their guests about 5 years ago. They're having some action out there. Oh, yeah. And some good action. They're getting that monkey chatter. They're getting footprints all over the place. And they're putting feet out there to see what they can do. And I'm sending them some cameras on Friday so they can get some pictures for us. We know we got Doyle with us. We got Rocky with us. We got Swede with us. We got Ray with us. And, of course, Alex is working the board. Alex, how are you, son?
Doing great, Pop. How are you doing tonight?
Well, look, my feathers have been ruffled. My feathers have been ruffled, that's for sure. You know, I just hope everybody's listening. That's all. Rocky, how are you tonight, son?
I'm doing good.
Are you good listening to this message here tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I hope
the monkey chatter that they're hearing, I thought that was only in Washington, D.C.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand the canter and banter that comes from Rockstar. You know, he tries to incorporate both into one, but you normal people have no clue what he's saying, and I get it. So let me translate for you, okay? Because the woman from the Appalachians in Georgia apparently doesn't know how to set her watch to the time to wake up because they're 3 hours difference. And when Rocky and her get on the phone, there's some communication problems. She speaks Appalachian. He speaks Arkansas-ese or something, whatever it is. But they pretty much can understand each other. But when they can't understand each other, then we have to get an interpreter. So at that point in time, I think what we do is we bring Father Ray involved, and we get him involved, and then he brings the clergy part. And between all of that, he deciphers that, oh, I think this is what's said. What's that, Father Ray? Oh, nothing. I says, oh, good. So by saying all that, I want to hit on some of these emails to Doyle. Doyle, you out there?
I'm here, Big T.
I got to tell you, man, you burnt up the lines here after you made
it. Well, I'm that damn good, Tom.
No, you're good at creating controversy. That's for damn sure. I'll tell you that. So here's what happened. A guy named, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, Jamie Sanchez. Okay, he or she said to me in a quote here on the email, says, you know, I really looked up to Doyle because he's always so willing to do so much for so many people. But at the same point in time, after hearing him tonight say, if you come down here, you better not go out into those woods at night. What did he mean by that?
Oh, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about people like Amos Moses. I'm talking about people that have their share of the woods that don't want people taking their animals, their wildlife. They don't want them fishing their ponds. They're going to protect what they have to stay alive. And you just better be cautious if you come into the woods. Now, if you come to my house, I'll put you in a clean bed and I'll feed you.
Okay,
kind of people.
Yeah, so is it safe to say, you good Christians people over where you're at, that he misunderstood your quote? Because I think he's inferring, because he comes back with another one, do I have to worry about losing my virginity after dark in the forest?
No. 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 That's not deliverance, okay? It's not deliverance down here, I promise you. In fact, I don't see how any man can look at another man's hiney and say, ooh, I want that. That ain't going to happen down here. We're just good God-fearing people. I mean, but we're good people. I just say, when you go in those woods, be cautious. And I'm not just saying that about the people that are protecting what they have. I'm just saying it about other things. I was in University of Tennessee Hospital for a week because after we discussed all the things you could get burned up with, I may lose a leg right now because I've got a staph infection from something either they can't figure it out, whether it's a spider bite or a tick bite. I'm just saying be cautious when you go in the woods.
Okay, well, apparently there's a bunch of other people that took it the same way that man or woman put it, you know, Jamie. Here's another one by Gordon Fox. And Mr. Fox says, Tom, I am shocked. Is it true what Doyle said? You better not go out there into those forests at night because we may be raped?
No. I was having a joke.
Oh, that was
no.
A joke.
not going to get raped. I'm telling you, watch out for rattlesnakes, chiggers, bears, hogs, and the people that are crazy enough to shoot you if you come on their property. That's okay. All I'm saying.
All right, so there's another one here by this guy. His name is Jock, J-A-C-Q-U-E. He says, so I guess, Tom, what I'm getting from Doyle is when I come down there to visit him and past dark and I go in the woods, I got to have a sign on my ass that says exit only?
Oh, once again, it's a joke. We're just joking, okay?
Listen, everybody has a fair share of time. I all give them equal time because I guess here's another one. Matt Carter. Mr. B, I am shocked. Okay. Matt, so I wrote back, what are you shocked about? Well, I thought Doyle was such a good family man, and he came off by doing so much for so many people, and then tells me I can't go out in the woods after dark because I might be molested. So, you know.
That was a Deliverance joke from the old movie The Deliverance, okay? Burt Reynolds, Ned Beatty, okay? That was a joke.
Okay.
That is not going to happen here.
Who is that?
It's Alex. Hey, Pop, rumor to the fact that that kind of activity causes staph infections?
Damn you.
Hold on, you guys. I really need the Beard of Knowledge's, you know, 2 cents in on this. Dweed, what's going through your head, son? Talk to me.
Well, you know, I've always heard that you could get hard chafing and really, really bad infections for tall rubber boots.
I'm on my knees.
Okay, but wait a minute now.
I asked y'all not to do this tonight. Y'all turned this into the Johnny Carson show.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. All we know how to do is tell the truth. And guess what? It's been recorded. You can go on the pod there and go listen to yourself and see what you said. Now, you listened last week, Beard of Knowledge, and God knows you've always told the truth. At least you have to me anyway. So my question to you is this. What did you understand when he said that?
Well, you know, we did get on the subject of the Deliverance thing, and I think it might come off a little strong, but I think, you know, after Doyle was talking, that's probably, you know, I think that's what he was doing, was kind of leaning towards that. But yeah, that after dark thing can, you know, man, you take that the wrong way real easy. Need to kind of, you know. If somebody told me that, I probably wouldn't go out there after dark, not at least unless I was heavily armed.
Okay. Everybody's opinion means something. Okay. Now let me get my co-host, the rock star. Rock star, what did you think about that?
I just can't figure out how you can get 2 feet in one boot.
Ladies and gentlemen, like I told you earlier, you know, if you think you're going to get a straight answer from this guy, forget about it. He's going to do the do's and the don'ts. He's going to come out and it's going to say it won't. It's that simple.
We know you're not to
well,
do this.
I just said that for Doyle. I knew he'd enjoy it. No, it's as simple as. You go out in the woods after dark, and you get run down by a wild hog, or you accidentally walk up on a mama bear with cubs, or you brush up against a bush and get 9,000 little seed ticks on you, and then you get all kinds of awful diseases. Or you step in a brush up against a bush and look like Tom Biscardi and the chigger thing. It's a
Tom the chigger victim.
Yes, Tom's the man to ask about the chiggers. But as far as people, yeah, there may be a Looney Tune out there somewhere, but that's why when you go out in the woods after dark, my suggestion is carry a shooting iron. And, you know, if somebody says something about getting 2 feet in one boot, you just drop him right then and go somewhere else real quick.
Well, you know what? If you're that far out in the woods, they'll never find his body anyway.
Yeah, you're right there. Do we have Father Ray with us tonight?
Yes, you do.
Father Ray, you were indisposed last week for some reason or another, although we heard your conversation that you were having with Father David about him fixing your transistor radio or some damn thing or your flashlight or whatever it may have been. Did you hear any of this conversation?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I heard the comment about the pigs, the wild pigs, and I know that that's true in Arizona with the javelinas.
Father Ray, please, before you go any more with this mishmash of stuff, that came from Rocky, all right? And he's talking about the animals, not people. So apparently what these people are beefing about was what's the name of that movie again, Doyle? Deliverance.
It's called Deliverance. It starred Burt Reynolds and Ned Beatty.
Do you remember that movie, Father Ray?
I did not see that one. I know I heard of it being advertised, but I missed that one.
Okay, well, this is the one they were in Arkansas or some damn place or Kentucky or some backwoods state where, you don't know if your sister's your mother or your aunt or your brother's your father or any of that kind of stuff. So nevertheless, this is the one where they got a couple of guys, tied them up to a tree, and they made them squeal like a pig. Okay, because they were doing some real bad things to them.
And they had real pretty lips. Remember that, Tom?
Oh, well, I guess, you're going to make me remember. That's for damn sure. So, that's what we're talking about, Father Ray. So did you think that stuff still goes on, Father Ray?
Yes, I think it does. But it's not talked about.
It's not talked about. So is there a reason why it's not talked about, Father Ray?
Well, I think people are kind of embarrassed. It goes across all kinds of cultural social norms. It goes against all kinds of cultural social norms. You shouldn't do this. And pretty much everybody, no matter what culture or where they're from, I think pretty much everybody recognizes you don't do this.
So you think it's fair to say, like Alex said, that if anybody goes down there where Doyle lives and they go into the forest after dark, they'll all end up with a staph infection?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I was in Kentucky in the seminary for 2 years, but I was in Logan County near Bowling Green. And in between Bowling Green and Auburn, but I didn't experience any of this. This kind
were
of
you
thing.
Out at night in the forest?
I was out at night, but usually in towns, not out in the forest. No.
Okay, so you really don't know then, do you?
No.
That's a good thing.
But truly, they.
Okay, I'm glad. So then you'll be permitted on the show every week. Because otherwise, if I would have found out any different, we would have abolished you real quick.
No. No,
Father
I
Ray,
go
did
out.
You get a staff
hey, Tom,
infection
if I could,
during that
if I
time?
Could, Father Ray, Tom, guys, that was meant to be a joke. Let me tell you the real truth about the people down here in Appalachia. If they caught you in the woods at night, they would, like I said, we'd bring you home. We'd give you a bed to sleep in. We'd give you food and drink. We're not going to tie you to a tree and do that to you.
You got to forgive
not...
me, man. Swede, where are you?
Hey, Doyle, I think it was a very successful joke.
Apparently.
Has really
I on tour, I guess.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Tom, you got room for one of your shows for me?
You bet. God. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. I got to – here's the one that just came in, okay? Danette Kintar. How much? She says it's apparent that Doyle isn't having anything to drink tonight. She says he sounds so much different than he did last week.
Hey, I'm sober as a circuit judge.
I'm sure you are.
I'm telling you.
Swede, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Well, listen, wheel man. What's your whole synopsis on this thing now?
Well, I was doing good until Doyle got to the part where we were going to bring you home and feed you and give you something to drink. Flatten you up a little bit before the squealing
we'll feed you, hey, Swede, we'll feed you some meat too, won't we?
I'm just
yeah. Who's Hensel? Who's
it was
Gretel?
Perfect to set yourself up really good.
Hey, Swede called me a couple weeks ago and said, I don't know what to do for supper. I'm confused. I said, beef stew. He said, I'm on it.
Ladies and gentlemen around the globe, please, please, I want you to understand this. This is not a common factor with us, but I had to address this because so many emails came in, and I'm thinking to myself, well, where have I been, okay? Because we just take this stuff as normal talk. And the next thing I'm finding out, people are, you know, in la-la land and thinking that, well, you know, here the guy is, just like he said, whether he contradicts himself or not is hearsay. But the key to it is, you know, you get lost out in the woods, you just heard it from him, okay, and it's in the nighttime. He'll take you in and give you a nice hot meal and clean you up and give you a nice bed. What happens afterwards is your guess is as good as mine. But nevertheless, he's a humble and a good man, I think. And, Rocky, do me a favor. Can you give me an unbiased opinion of what you really think besides that other horse shit?
Well, yeah, I can. That's what they make rope for. When the people that Doyle was talking about, the ones that like their little nephews and nieces and all that, they could live in a $1 million house or a $12 shed. But the answer is always. In Arkansas, the answer for the most part is throw a rope over the limb, and they're guaranteed never to recommit the crime.
Yeah, our saying down here, Rocky, is a tall tree and a short rope.
That's
and
right.
And hang them high.
Exactly.
I get it. Okay, folks, I hope we had fun and we cleared up this mess. And anytime you need a filler.
We had fun whether we cleared it up or not.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Okay, and anytime you have the shows that are listening in right now, you need a filler, call my good buddy Doyle. He'll help you out. That's for damn sure. Well, let's go
get
to a commercial
me,
real quick.
I'll put my phone.
I'll we'll
do it
talk
all
about
the time. I'll give my phone.
Time.
Anybody's got a show.
Get him out, Alex.
Do it.
Let's
I
go
think
to
you guys
Alex.
Were talking over each other, but Pop wants a commercial.
Let's go to the commercial, Alex.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot. There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the
crew
right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Morgan. I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotti and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought at this time in our history, we had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced him I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
And we're back.
We are back, Bob.
Okay, all right. Well, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back to our guests, Robin and Kevin out there in the East Coast, upstate New York. We were out there, I guess, about 5 years ago, and boy, they treated us great hospitality and a lot going on. And by the way, they're right over there close to the PA-Pennsylvania border where the Amish were. And without any further ado, let's get them on. Robin, Kevin, you guys out there?
Yes, we are.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing pretty good. Getting old. At least we feel like we are. Other than that, we're doing well.
Remember the good side of the whole thing is you're here to tell the story, and you're talking about it tonight. So that means you're still here, and we're okay today, aren't we?
Yes.
Yep.
Good, good. By the way, I was impressed to beat hell to see those photos with those prints that you guys took.
You did get them, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean
good.
You saw all five toes. You saw the impression of the heel and the arch and the whole nine yards.
Yep.
You know, that was some great dealings. And the sounding, the recordings, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, we've been hearing a lot of vocalizations here near our home. One time I was walking my little dog, Jackson, and we started hearing vocalizations out in the woods, so I mimicked the sound. And when you said monkey chatter or chimp chatter or whatever, that's really what I started hearing right after I made a vocalization, and it kind of scared me, so I took my dog and went back home. But we've been trying to
listen every night,
listen in to see if we hear anything. For a week, we heard nothing at all. Now yesterday, we heard something before it even got dark, so we were really pleased with that. We started putting a soda can smeared with peanut butter up in a tree.
You took one.
They actually took one right off the tree, and I found it. The tab was off from it, but it was not still on the line. I didn't see it on the ground, and all the peanut butter was gone. The next two times, we put more peanut butter up on two cans.
And they were licked clean.
They were licked clean. There was nothing on them at all.
With the candy bar.
Yeah, we put a candy bar out there. The candy bar was all tore apart and eaten.
Yep.
And we decided to put beads out. And the first three or four times when we checked them, the beads were all scattered around, like maybe a raccoon or something got to it. And then the last three times we put beads out there, I would arrange them in different sequences. We even had a shell out there that I put a bead inside the shell. And when I went out to check on them, every single bead was completely missing, even inside the shell. The shell was still there, but the bead was gone. So I don't know if we had trespassers on the property and people took them or if our big friend took them.
Wow.
But we're hoping, like you said earlier, you were going to help us with a camera. So we're going to see if we can rebait everything and put the camera out there and maybe see what's doing it.
Well, I told you we're going to do that on Friday.
Friday,
yep.
Yes.
Yep. Tell them about the shells being in a zigzag pattern on the
Last year, we put a line of six shells out on a log. I had them all in a straight line. I went back, and then they were in like a lightning shape when I went back out there, all zigzagged on the log. I put them cup side down. They were reversed where the cup side was up on the shell. And all but one of the shells came up missing.
Wow.
So we've been having some kind of activity. We found broken branches about waist high or a little higher, bent in the same direction. And along with the footprints and stuff like that that we told you about.
You know what's been blowing my mind is normally in a lot of places today, you don't see full footprints like you've been sending me, where it shows the arch, the heel, the five
yep.
toes. What did they measure out at? Did you take any measurements?
They were about 8 inches wide. About that, and between 15 to 18 inches long.
Well, that's part of the course. What about the indentation? How far in the ground did they go? Because I know one of them was like stones, and you couldn't go very far with that unless it was really...
Right. You could just, the one that was in the hard compacted ground, you could just barely make out a footprint. The other ones were about... an inch to 2 inches deep.
Wow. Now, ladies and gentlemen around the globe, I hope you understand what he just said, okay? Something to make an indentation that deep. Now, look at your thumb, all right? Just look at your thumb in front of you. From the tip of your thumb to the first little knuckle right there, that's an inch, okay? Now, he says, you said how many inches?
1 to 2 inches.
That's pretty damn deep, believe me. Because I'm looking now, I'm just getting my measuring thing here with my glasses. I want to see how much more it is. Wow. This thing had to have been a pretty... Rocky, what do you figure the weight is on a 2-inch, on a 2-inch indentation in the ground of one of these creatures?
I'd have to know what the ground was like, but
I'm figuring over 500 pounds.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, closer to 8.
Yep. 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 So have you guys seen any in this new location?
We have not.
We've just heard them
and seen the signs like we mentioned just a moment ago. The only time my wife seen anything was when we were in Pennsylvania, not far from Erie. And you guys came out then?
Yes.
We found footprints. In fact, I had some castings of some of the footprints. Some people came to visit, and we actually gave some of the castings we had away. When TJ came, one of the times, I don't remember if you were with him or not, Tom, but we gave him one of the castings, and he said that he felt it was from a Bigfoot, and they were going to put it in the museum.
Well, if he did, he's a man of his word, and believe me, it's in the with all the rest of them we got. That's for damn sure, and when we decide which museum we're going to use them with, I'll guarantee it'll be up there with you guys' name underneath.
We've heard.
Yeah, but the only time that I was out, one of my horses was killed. We don't know how, but we had gone out, and our landlord, Joe, was bringing it out into the woods to dispose of the body. And I forgot what. Oh, that my wife was trying to find me and was shining the flashlight. And I was out there by myself visiting with my landlord. And my wife was shining the light trying to find me and seeing one of the Bigfoot walking away from her going into the woods.
Whoa, really?
But I never had that privilege yet.
So your wife actually saw it going into the woods with the flashlight?
Yes.
Yep.
Why don't you tell us the story, Robin?
Well, like I said, Kevin, we lost one of our mares, and Kevin told me that he would go over to Joe's and help him to, you know, take it out and dispose of it. So it was about around 7:30, was getting a little bit dark, not fully dark. So I had the flashlight with me, and I realized I was out in the horse pasture by the cabin he had built. And figured, well, I'll just check, see if he's in there. And as I approached the cabin, I heard a tree knock. And I kept hollering for Kevin and just, you know, looking on the trail with the flashlight. And then as I walked away, heard another loud tree knock. And the flashlight that I had was like brand smackin' new, and it gave out a lot of light. So as I raised it up and was kind of just looking for Kevin, this figure, huge figure, walked. It never looked at me, saw the whole back of it, the arms, the whole. It looked like it had worn like a football uniform. It was like no neck. And this thing never looked at me. It just went into the woods. Long, lengthy arms, I mean, black hair, muscling. Oh, my goodness. You talk about weak in the knees. I realizing I'm out here in the pasture looking for my husband. And then when Kevin...
He's by yourself.
I was by myself. And then when Kevin, I finally met up with Kevin, he also heard the wood knocks, but he didn't get to see what I did. But it just... Evidently, I just caught it just right with moving the flashlight around, just looking for Kevin, and there it was. And, I mean, that's something special. I mean, scary,
you
but
bet
special.
It is. Yeah, yeah, like I tell everybody, welcome to the world of Sasquatch.
Yeah.
I'm curious as hell. How did you dispose of the horse?
Our landlord owned...
You're away from the speaker. We can't hear you.
our landlord had wild boars that they had from Europe. He would sell them to game preserves, and he was going to take the horse up there to feed his pigs.
So you just touched on something that I have a little knowledge of. So, but at this point in time, I want to call my partner in crime, the Beard of Knowledge. Reed, you there?
Yes, I'm just listening to
okay,
the
so, here.
Okay,
so I'm going to ask you this question, and I think you know the answer. Probably better, well, you and Rocky both, but you more so because of the butchering that you get done. So how big was the mare? 1,000, 1,200 pounds?
Yes.
Okay. So we got a mare that just died. The landlord's going to take it up on this land where he breeds these European pigs, and I'd gather that they're a couple of hundred pounds, 160 to 200 pounds apiece. How many pigs... And how long would it take to devour that 1,000 or 1,200 pound horse?
It'd take a little while, I would imagine. The thing about the horse thing is that the hide itself is an issue for the pig. They're going to go to the weakest part first and eat entrails and all of that, you know, like every other thing does. But then when they start to work on the actual flesh and hide and stuff, I would suspect that it would take a pretty big, you know, I mean, it would take several head to eat it up very fast. I would think that it would last, you know, a week or so with a pretty decent bunch of hogs. I mean, they wouldn't eat it all in one day.
No.
He had about 20 hogs there, and a lot of them had babies. And, like I said, he would breed them to sell to game preserves where people like to go hunting. And a lot of times because they're not native to the United States, there's like down south in the down in the mountains down south, anyway, in Florida, they have a lot of wild pigs there. But to have a wild pig here in New York or Pennsylvania, you'd have to go to a preserve to hunt them.
Wow. And the reason why I asked this question is because I was in Texas on expedition, and we're on a ranch. And there was a pig farmer out there, and he had found a body or a skeleton of a body of a male. And, of course, they called the gendarmes, the cops, to come in or whatever they call them out there, rangers or whatever, sheriffs, policemen.
Right.
And they said it was six hogs that ate everything on this body, and all that
wow.
was left was bone, and it was from the time that he had checked on his pigs around 9 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. So in those 9
wow.
hours, there was this dead human being, and these hogs ate everything on this
wow.
body.
Wow. You believe it.
And pigs are very dangerous.
Yeah.
Rocky, what do you think? Wait a minute. I want to get Rocky's thoughts.
Yeah.
I have heard that it would take two large farm hogs that have gone without food for a couple of days. It would take about 4 hours for them to devour a human.
Okay, so then it's pretty much true what happened here in this case. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, and you said there was 20?
Yes.
Hogs up there?
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, this is something else. So what do you foresee in the future now? Tell me what you foresee in the future.
Well, we're hoping that we can get some pictures or some other evidence that the Bigfoot is real. My sister believes in Bigfoot, but she does not believe they're in New York. And if they are, they'd be more up in the mountains like the Adirondack Mountains and up that way. I figure as long as there's places for them to be able to hide and have food, even around farms, there's a lot of places that have berries and corn and different kinds of grains and apples that they might be able to feed on. So it's just a matter of most of the time they're creatures of the night, and most people are sleeping during that time, so most people may not believe that they could be in this area.
Well, you know what? You heard the conversation at the top of the hour for the first half hour, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you talked about the Adirondacks. Do the Adirondack people up in the woods and everything like that, are they pretty similar to the Appalachian people?
You can get people like that no matter where you go. But the Adirondacks are pretty populated with people from the cities. They go to the Adirondacks a lot of times to get camps and stuff to get away from the cities.
Oh, is that right?
Most of them are city dwellers from like New York City and maybe Albany or Syracuse areas, and they go up there to get away from the everyday hustle and bustle of the city life. They get a lot of tourists and stuff there.
Okay, so you don't believe that there's any of that deliverance stuff going on up there?
Not so much.
Not so much. Okay. All right.
I'm not saying nothing happens. I'm not saying that nothing happens, but I don't believe it's as backwards as some of the southern states.
What are you doing? Yeah, that's an amazing thing. I'll tell you what, last week was an opening eye for me, and I'm not going into the woods at nighttime, I'll tell you. Either that or I go with a neon sign, which I told you I'm going to put on the back.
There you go.
nevertheless, I'm going to open this last 8 minutes or last 5 minutes to the rest of our people here, and if they have any questions for you. Let's start from Doyle. Doyle, you got any questions for Kevin and Robin?
No, I absolutely think you're blessed to have seen those prints.
And thank you.
I've been on so many expeditions, and I've never got the privilege of seeing a Bigfoot. But, Robin, you got to see.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
She has the privilege.
Oh, yeah.
You are like the Holy Grail with Bigfoot because you actually got to see one. So, let me tell you right now, I keep looking. I'm going every night.
Cool.
I'm going into the Appalachian Mountains, and I know that's the pathway to the south during their migration.
Right.
And I try every night. I've even got drones in there looking for them.
That would be cool.
I cannot ever see a Bigfoot. I just want to see one time.
Yeah, I'm hoping to as well.
Seven times, Tom?
Seven times, yeah. I've had seven times having the privilege of encountering these creatures. Rocky, what do you say? You got any questions for Robin and Kevin?
Yes, I've got one for Robin. You've seen one and y'all have heard one. Did you catch any, like, of its body odor?
Yeah, it was like a wet dog, like a skunk. Like it's got like a wet dog and a skunk mixed in with it. It's really just pungent. It just, I mean, it's
very gross. Bo.
Yeah.
Very gross.
Yeah.
Bo.
Yep.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty much what every that's the going description.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I was wondering is if
yeah.
she actually. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Father Ray. Father Ray, what do you got to ask Kevin and Robin?
I have a question for Robin. Robin, when the creature was moving away from you, did it seem like he was just matter of fact moving away, or was he trotting, running away from you?
No, it was moving really fast. Because I think when I was hollering for Kevin, evidently I must have heard Kevin, you know, answer me back when he was coming down on the trail. And I was surprised because it never looked back at me. The arms were like, you know, swaying. It was moving. I mean, it wasn't running, but it was moving pretty quick to, you know, into the woods.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now let's go to the Beard of Knowledge here. You become real popular here, Robin.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really have a question, but I did have a little input. You said you were going to be doing some baiting, and the peanut butter seems to be working really good for you up there on the soda cans and all this, that, and other. Well, me and Rocky have used sweet potatoes and apples baked,
cool.
And then we put it in a burlap sack and then hang it out on a limb, put it on a string, on a like a paracord or something, and put it out away from the tree over a limb where nothing can get to it, no coons, no nothing. Put it about 7 foot off the ground, and if you've got anything messing with that, it's a great smell. Plus, you can taste a little bit for yourself while you're making it because it's pretty tasty. But, it works good.
Okay.
We've used it before, and we've had great results in long term. The bait stays real good for a while, and if it rains on it, it gets better. So that's all I have to say about it. I'm so proud that you got to have those experiences, and the footprint thing is fantastic, and keep on Bigfooting.
We want to. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it looks like everybody loves you. Last but not least is our Alex. He runs our board. Thank God that we've got him there with us. What do you got to say or ask to Kevin and Robin, Alex?
Well, you know, not so much a question, but maybe a comment and a couple of comments, one for you. When you set up the cameras, if Tom sends you more than one, a lot of times what happens when the cameras are in place is the activity stops or the cameras get damaged, taken down, blocked, whatever. So if you get more cameras than one, I suggest setting the cameras up in a series, you know, looking at each other. If you have three, put them in a triangle, one looking at the other. If you have two, if you have two, have them looking at each other, but not directly at each other, because that's the problem with only two. The infrared senses will kind of trigger each other, so you have to have them kind of at an angle, but try to catch each other in the frame, and you might get lucky. And then, Tom, I don't know if you know this, but I actually have some experience in something you talked about tonight. I've been lucky enough, or unlucky enough, to actually have buried a host. When my wife's dad passed away, we flew up there right away to Emmett, to the ranch. And when we landed, his good friend of 25 years had also passed away. So the first thing I got to do was bury his old Palomino. And I'll tell you how you do it. You use a backhoe.
Yeah.
That's the easy way. Put some lime in the hole, I'm sure, and then fill it back up.
Everybody that knows me knows I live on Dead Horse Mountain Road, just to the north of us. The mountain was where they used to bury all of the horses that the city was using to power their their heavy equipment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rocky, we don't have time. We'll continue this next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Robin, Kevin, Doyle,
yes.
Rocky, Swede, Ray, Alex, I'm indebted to each and every one of you people. Thank you so much. Kudos and
thank you for letting us be on.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, guys. Until next week, America, bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless everybody from Kentucky.
Goodbye, everyone from New Mexico.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put the bottom together. I'm not going to be able to do that.